Jessica Cynthia is our guest today for Frogish. For those listeners who have attended Osmosis, you will understand West Coast and East Coast Cynthia. So many OSIN and investigative nuggets and stories in this episode. Who remembers the term curtilage? Here's a quick definition. Curtilage includes the area immediately surrounding a dwelling, and it counts as part of the home for many legal purposes, including searches and many self-defense laws. I heard so much of that at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center when we were talking about trash pulls. And Cynthia talks about it in this episode too. So let's get started listening to Cynthia. Once again, I am honored and so incredibly excited to have another amazing guest on Frogish. Today we have Cynthia Navarro. Cynthia, we are going to start quickly with a few word associations. When I say OSINT, or open source intelligence, for the people out there who don't know it, what do you think?
Tradecraft.
Oh, I like that. Okay. When I say fraud, what do you think?
Crime.
Crime. Mm-hmm. And ethics.
The most important ethics, stability.
Oh, ooh, can you say a little more about that? I like that answer.
Well, stability is, if you have ethics, you're a stable person. It's a continuous thing. If you don't have ethics, you're not going to be very stable within whatever you're involved in. Eventually, you're going to go back and revert and be that fraud, the crime.
I love that. I've never heard it say stability, but I get such amazing answers on this, but I really love stability. Okay. So Cynthia, give everyone your elevator speech and tell us who and what you are and what you're doing currently.
Okay. I am Cynthia Navarro. I am a licensed California private investigator. I have been in investigations for, oh my gosh, probably 43, 44 years. I have gone from your typical on the ground, making phone calls and talking to people and doing surveillances, to going to open source and sitting behind this computer and talking to others and doing my investigations from my laptop. And currently, I am the president for a new association that we're in our just in the beginning stages for starting Osmosis. It's an association for open source intelligent investigators. And we are professionals, however you'd like to phrase it. But we're very excited because we're having this as international. It's one big association, a international board of directors. We are going to promote and maintain with the ethics of the work and the techniques and tools and sharing and education and networking. It's a very exciting time. Very exciting time.
It is. It is so incredibly important. And a little more of the backstory is you're known as West Coast Cynthia. And then there's East Coast Cynthia, Cynthia yes. Hetherington. And I finally got to meet you in person at the first Osmosis conference, I believe, in 2015 in Vegas.
Yes.
So this is so important. And I recorded the previous episode with an investigator/attorney. Mm-hmm. And she had just been to Osmosis and, you know, loved it and loved the networking and everything like that. But the ethics of doing OSINT are so incredibly important, and we need guardrails.
Yes. Yeah, working on that.
Yeah. So I'm so excited for this, just so incredibly excited for this, because, you know, let's be honest. Have you gotten a client who said, well, can't you just do that? Can't you just get that for me?
Yeah. Yeah. And many times.
Sometimes it's an attorney.
You know, it is. It is. Definitely. They are not understanding. Well, when you don't understand what you should and should not do, it's common sense for us, but like, no, you don't do this. But it's not common sense for a lot of folks, or they're desperate to get something. And you have to really have your borders for yourself of, this is what I will do, this is what I will not do. And there's different things. Divorce, that brings out a lot of craziness in people. I will not touch a divorce case. My one and only divorce case I did ended up as a murder-suicide.
Oh, geez. So
it's like not touching those again. It's too, because you're dealing with emotions. So you have to stop and think, who are you dealing with? Why you are getting this information? Because it could be basic information. But what if you're collecting where someone's located, getting all of their information for someone, and it's for nefarious reasons? You have to understand, why are you collecting this information?
Well, in the world of the internet, you know, we don't meet in-person clients.
Yes, that's true.
And you don't know if that's the real person. They don't have a blue check, which, okay, you know, you're in the sort of Silicon Valley, and we have to talk a little bit about Twitter. Because you're on Twitter, Finnegan's Way, follow her, even though I'm like, I am this close to getting off of Twitter.
Yeah, I haven't been on it in a little while, but yeah.
This close to getting off of Twitter, but I love Twitter for investigations. I think you can find out so much about a person if they're on Twitter.
Yes.
Their likes, their dislikes, the things they support.
Oh yeah. No, you can get lots of information.
It's a hot mess right now though.
And then who are you talking to? You're right. It's where are you getting your information? You have to go from the misinformation to what is true and correct, or at least almost correct.
As close as we can get to correct.
Yeah, as close as we can get. It's not always 100%. It's like getting information off a credit report. It's not all accurate. It's being input by a human. But how do all of these different things within a credit report match that person? Did they really live at an address that was given? Or do they only have that address because they're on a credit card with somebody and have nothing to do with that address? I mean, it's crazy things when it comes to the internet.
Yeah. You know, so many people think that we're all about the facts. We gather facts. And I mean, you know, Brian Willingham, he has a great blog out there. He's been on the podcast before, but he rails against the, I'm going to say, investigator who like gets a report from TLO or something like that and just cuts and paste.
Yeah.
We are paid for our analysis.
Yes. Yes, that's extremely important. And when you're going online and doing your analysis, that's even more important because you're trying to pull the weeds out of or get that crabgrass out of a great, you know, lawn. It's like, oh, okay, this looks wonderful. And then you start looking, it's like, oh, no, this can't be true. So it is a challenge for all of us. And that is the thing, is to keep your curiosity up and keep your wits about you when you're looking. Don't get so excited thinking you have something until you have that backup information to say, okay, I've gotten this in three different places, or I've tried getting the information in these different places. I'm not getting it. Here's your possibilities. Here's other questions I may have to go into another direction that I didn't even think about. It's a challenge. And I don't think people realize how much unless they were to sit down and try and do it themselves.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first things that I learned when I was doing a lot of background checks for the federal government was timelines are so, like, it seems basic, but when you see overlaps or just there's nothing for that time, like you would think, you know, they just pounded on us timelines.
Oh, yeah. No. Backgrounds are important. I've done some where if there was any 30-day gap, I would need to find out what happened in that 30-day gap. The other thing is, when you're doing your backgrounds, is getting you have your references that they provide you, but you want to find other references and see what other information you can get. So it's going beyond what a normal thing is. And your timeline is important because where did they go? What were they doing? You want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a little hint out there for, I filled out numerous SF-86 for the federal government. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the background investigators had to develop sources. So you couldn't, after the second or third time, you're like, you put the crappy ones on your SF-86. And then when they interview them, you give them the good ones. Mm-hmm. Because you can't just go on the ones. So like for the people, the first time I did it, I gave my best ones on the SF-86, the ones I really want them to talk to. And then it's like, when I start doing, it's like, oh no, we don't talk to those people. Give us someone else. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's part of tradecraft.
Yeah.
Like, because normally people are going to give their best ones on an application.
Yes.
They just are.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny you should say that, because I got one that a guy was trying to give me his, you know, what had happened, because he was in the union and a lot of breaks. So he gave me his pasture. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll go talk to him. And so I talked to him and he rammed that guy. I mean, he had nothing nice to say. And I'm like, this was not a developed reference. This was one that the applicant provided. And he gave me more information and go talk to so-and-so and talk to so-and-so. So all the developed ones, but it started from someone you think, you know, you're putting them down because you're right. You think they're going to give me a great overview. And I was so surprised.
And oh my gosh. Yeah.
They do that.
You'd be surprised.
Unions are really, they have the, it's terrible to say, I'm not going to say the word we called them, but they would have, all the unions would protect each other and make sure that everybody was getting great and positive references and just keep going. But it's all the union people.
I can say that about attorneys right now too. Definitely. Okay. So Cynthia, you and Kirby started a podcast. You had to take a little bit of break because so much was going on, but talk to us about your podcast. I love it, by the way.
Oh,
I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. Thank you. No, it's great. We have actually a couple more to release for you. And we had a lot of fun with a lot of fantastic guests that were on, but mainly we're looking at open source and people that are going out online. What are they looking for? What systems do they use? What are they using to hide themselves or not hide themselves? And getting more technical versus common sense. And just chatting to different people. It's not very long. I think we only did like about a half an hour.
Yeah.
And it was just enough to give you enough information, but it was interesting because we had Amber Schroeder on and Cynthia Navarro, Cynthia Hetherington, and both of them were different in a lot of views. Both of them are very successful in what they do. And that's what we want to show, is there's not just one way. There's a lot of different ways you have to expand yourself. And that's what we're trying to show out there, is what is OSINT and what do you do? Just the basics of it.
Well, and like you do that, what was it that at the very end you did like three tips or three things you're using this week?
Yes.
So what are some you're doing right now that... Like, I remember you had a real estate one that was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a great one. So right now, well, it's a little bit harder because right now I'm working on the association stuff. But what I'm doing is I'm going in and looking at other associations, looking at their ethics, looking at everything else. So on tip wise, oh, my gosh. I have been looking at other people's, and it's something that I do all the time, is you can get these free tips from, like, Kirby has them on her site. Cynthia has them. Go and take a look at those. See what these tips are and then see what you're missing. I had one, I think it's called One Page Off of a Chrome.
Yeah.
I love that. I didn't even know it was out there, but I don't use Chrome a lot. And I was saying, I can't capture this because it's not going to capture the whole page. And while it is not perfect, it's better than trying to capture it by like Adobe Acrobat is great. And so I'm like, no, because it tends to move things around. And this one page was fantastic. I will say Acrobat is good on capturing a website. So if you're looking at doing a website, do that. You're getting a lot of links, things that may be sitting in the back that they haven't hidden, but you don't know how to get to, but they're still there when you're pulling down that website. So
yeah,
that's a great one.
Did you have Justin Seitz on?
Yes.
Yeah, you did. Justin.
Yeah.
We love Justin. We love Hunchley.
Yes, Hunchly is awesome. I've been pushing Hunchly for ages since he started, and he's fantastic, and he listens. I talked to him. I went back actually and said, "Hey, have you tried using this and tried?" And he goes, "No, let me check it out." I mean, he's very open into listening about different strategies for doing things, and he always wants to make it better, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've seen Justin's progression. And actually, you know, I found him via Michael Bazell from 2015 at Osmosis. I started digging on Michael's, and I was a little too embarrassed or imposter syndrome to reach out directly to Michael. And then I saw Justin and I picked up the phone, and, you know, in 2015, we've stayed in contact, and I refer Hunchly all the time.
Yeah.
I just,
He's awesome. Yeah.
It's not only is it good, it is a well-priced tool.
Oh, yes.
Because there are some really expensive things out there that, like, solos have a hard time justifying.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of vendors are not, they're not realizing it. But I know Cynthia Hetherington has been working on some of the vendors saying, hey, let's stop and think about, most of them are solos. They cannot afford this. Maybe you can bring a few together as one, but it's still a challenge for the smaller folks that are out there that are doing fantastic work and could really do much better using certain tools that just monetarily are not accessible.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys are doing this because I had to miss Osmosis this year, but with the certification, I know there's associations that you can get lower prices, like AIIP, you can get lower prices for things. So I'm going to put a plug in for the Osmosis certification that you get it, that you get discounted, like, you know, community member pricing on certain tools. So add that to your list. I would love, I think it would be a win-win for the community.
We actually have talked about that. In fact, I will talk with Cynthia about that. I'm meeting with her next week for a day that's all we're talking about is that back end of the association and what we're providing for folks. And so definitely I will add that to our list.
Okay, cool. Say hi to Cynthia.
East Coast
Cynthia. She is my number one downloaded podcast episode. She was my number one to start, and she's still my number one. I've also had Rachel on, and I have another one coming on from the Hetherington group. So let's talk about the certification. Like, who is it for? Who do you think it's going to benefit most?
It can only benefit everyone because you're learning something. You're going out and all of the webinars you've gone to and trainings, it's actually pulling that all together for you. But we also have a separate educational committee that is handling all of that. So they're meeting, they're doing their thing. I haven't talked with them yet. Cynthia's been dealing with them, East Coast Cynthia. So I couldn't comment as much on that because they're building it all up. They've had the Osmosis Academy, which has been extremely successful. She's gone above and beyond what the expectations were for that. And it's very exciting on that, but it's going to be for everyone. Really. It doesn't matter how old you are. We always have to learn because this is an ever evolving, changing, tradescraft that we are in. So it will be for everyone.
Okay. Count me in. Okay. So you haven't written a book, have you? Have you written a book?
I was a contributor to, oh my gosh, what was the name of that? I was a contributor to a book that was for a college and my chapter was just a chapter that I contributed to. I'm not much of a writer. I don't have that patience to do that. I could talk your ear off, but I'm just not a writer. And I know Cynthia's always, you need to write about all of the cases you've done and the stories, and that it would be fun, but
someone might come after you.
Just a contributor. Yeah. Just a contributor. That's all I like. I like being in that background.
Okay. What is the best compliment you've received lately? And I know you get them all the time.
Oh, the best compliment. I just got one from someone in the Netherlands talking about the team and how organized it was and professional and thoughtful. And I really was like, oh, that's so great. You know, this came from a wonderful man that I just was surprised and made me feel good on it.
Okay, audience, go out and reach out to people, because look at, I can see Cynthia and she's beaming about it. And I was just told last week I was spellbinding by a lawyer of all people. And you know what? It doesn't take a lot to like, you know, make someone's day and also to keep them going, because our work can be rough.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Kindness, just a little bit of kindness to someone. That's all you need to do. It makes a difference.
Oh my gosh. Kindness makes such a difference. And I actually have an episode hopefully coming up about kindness, not from anyone in the investigative field, but who actually speaks on kindness. And you know, sometimes people think that we're like badasses and that we're unapproachable. And I'm going to say that's not true.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely correct. Once you get someone talking, and it's then finding out how do you get them to talk. I had an FBI agent one time, and I was doing a lot of search warrants with them and identifying product, IP stuff. And I could not get this one person to talk to me. And finally, I went to someone else and I said, you know what? I really try to be nice. And they don't blow me off, but it's like I'm not there. And there was one thing that I needed to talk about, and that was, how are your kids doing? Once I said that, that relationship blossomed and we're great friends. But it was one little thing that I needed to know. So find that little thing about someone. Get them to open up. What do they love? What are they passionate about?
And that's what we use open source intelligence for, to find out. Because, okay, what's everyone's weak link in open source intelligence?
Technical for me.
Well, I'm going to say that if you can't find someone, you can find someone via their family members or their pets.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So like there was a guy who committed a very large Ponzi scheme and he became a fugitive. And as I recall, they found him via his pets. They were unusual dogs that went to a veterinarian in a foreign country. And that's where the gig ended.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree with you on the little things. I've done it with soccer players. This was years ago, and it was an individual that, you know, they had a bad back, all the typical stuff. And so I said, okay, well, what can you tell me about them? As I'm talking to some folks, and someone had mentioned soccer, I'm a soccer player. So I'm like, oh, where do they play? So I found them online, found their team, found their schedule, and I went to the game. And what a heck of a player for someone that had a bad back. So we got it all on video. But it was from his love of a sport.
Yeah.
So that's how we, no other way. They didn't get him on other types of surveillances. It was think out of that box and where else can you go? And family too. That's a great one.
Oh yeah. You've got the kid who's on Insta or TikTok, and then all of a sudden you get a background, and you can, you know, which leads me to who in your profession besides East Coast Cynthia, do you look for guidance?
Ooh, it depends. And I'll tell you why, because with OSINT, it's huge. You have folks that are great with geolocation. They may do, oh, look, I want to get in here and get this information. And they can come up with some coding that will help me get to that much quicker. So I go to a lot of people. I go to Amber Schroeder for stuff.
Yep. I'll put her in the, I hope to have her on the podcast, but I'll also put her in the show notes.
Yeah, no, Amber is absolutely awesome to go to. Okay, we don't want to go with Cynthia. Forget Cynthia.
You know which presentation I really liked at Osmosis?
Which one?
And I know it's going to be from the previous episode of Andy Fordred. Andy F.
Oh,
When I found out who Andy F1 was, it was like fangirl crush. And remember, did you see his presentation where he did the resort? I think it was like in Europe, and they brought all sorts of stuff in, and he could show that it didn't really exist. I was fascinated by his presentation.
He's awesome. He's on our board of directors.
Yay!
So he is fantastic. We were just texting back and forth the other middle of the night because it was his morning. But he is awesome. I think that anybody that that you know within what you're looking for, what they do is to go and talk with them. I talk with so many. To be able to pinpoint one would not work because I go to Kirby. And Kirby is awesome. You could go to Justin Nordine. You could go to Buddy Jericho. You could go to a lot of different folks, but I love to go to Bellingcat.
Oh, yeah.
Bellingcat is great, and read up on what they're doing and understanding. So a lot of times I'll go up and just start reading stuff. And it's like, oh, that is interesting. Or I'll call somebody and say, this is what I'm looking for. Who do you think could help me out of that? So again,
it's a really giving community.
Oh, they are. Yeah. They're wonderful. I don't think I've ever gone to anyone that has not helped.
And if they aren't going to help, let's just say they're not stable. Going back to stability.
They're not stable and they are not friendly. Kindness there in your vocabulary.
Is there, I know you're doing a ton with the osmosis thing right now, but like if you had to reinvent yourself, what would you do?
That is not a hard one. Because I would be out on a ranch, working a ranch.
Really?
I've had horses since I was 12 years old, and that's my getaway. I don't have them now because I don't have enough time, but my daughter has two of them. So anytime, they're only 7 miles from my house. And so anytime I can go out and just hang with them. I take my grandkids out there so they can get used to them. To me, that's a very calming place. I used to teach writing lessons when I was younger. That would be my place to go.
Then you don't know my whole thing that horses are a pink flag.
No.
Horses are very expensive. Yes. Rita Cronwell had over 400 and stole $53 million. Melissa King stole $42 million, and her daughter was such an accomplished equestrian that she leased a horse to Bruce Springsteen's daughter. So I'm not picking on you, but I do say horses are a pink flag.
They are. I did Western pleasure and just basic riding. That's what I like. But yeah, it is very expensive. Very expensive.
So this is kind of going not off topic, but like, okay, you're doing some open source intelligence, and all of a sudden that you see something that doesn't tie to, let's say, their socioeconomic background, their salary. Do you like, because I just was interviewed by a college professor and she was asking me about pink flags and remote work, because we're not seeing our employees like we used to.
Absolutely.
So you don't see them drive into the parking lot. Well, men are going to drive in a new Lambo. Women are going to drive in an upgraded Camry. Mm-hmm. But we can see it on social media.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the best place to go. Is you might not find it, as we talked about earlier, on their social media, but we want to look at the children. We want to look at the wife. We may want to go and look to see other maybe properties that they have in their favorite locations to go. You want to check if there's any boats or either vehicles, lots of places to go, but social media is a great place to start. I just worked on one a couple of years ago. It was a huge one that went on a federal level. And I had found this guy's property. He was building a house. I started looking into all kinds of stuff. Everything was done online. And it was amazing what he had purchased, but you wouldn't know that just kind of watching him. It was looking like right past that and finding stuff, and the internet was perfect.
So I have a friend who should not be named, who's not on social media. Mm-hmm. And her now ex-husband, a couple of years ago, he was posting pictures on Facebook of a family vacation. And let's just say it was crazy over the top. Like, you should have seen the slide off the third floor of the yacht.
Oh my God.
And I looked at it at the time and I was like, oh dude, tone deaf. Mm. Like, you know, your workers are that's the other thing, is like culture and tone at the top. Workers will look, employees will look, yes. Like, okay, perfect example, Elon Musk right now. He's laying off half of his employees or something. And like, they are, nothing is private, nothing. Mm-hmm. For things like that. And do you think with the fraud triangle, with opportunity, pressure, and rationalization, that someone can't rationalize something when they see what Elon Musk is doing?
Well, that man is, it's going to be interesting to watch. Definitely interesting to watch. It's a sad affair. I am kind of like sitting back going, okay, let's see what happens, because it's only just looks like it's just going to go down.
Yeah.
Nothing positive. I don't see anything positive from it, but you know, I don't know the backgrounds of it. I only know what's out there on social media and that I haven't researched.
Okay, so you have your own podcast. What podcast do you listen to, or do you have time right now to listen?
It's a harder one. I do listen to yours. And actually, listening, I had picked, I've listened to Rachel. I'd have to go back and look, because I'll just put them on and then just start listening to them when I'm doing things. Anything that catches my attention, actually. There's so many that are out there now, which I think is absolutely wonderful. You don't have enough time to hit them all, but I have really enjoyed yours. Aww. And it's, you promote it too. You know, you're not just kind of sitting back and doing this and trying to have someone else do it. You are self-promoting. You have very interesting people that come on. You ask some great questions. You find personal, both business out of it. So I'm just going to leave you as number one. Aww.
Thank you. That's that's so incredibly awesome. I consider it an honor. Like, you know, I lose money on the podcast, but I get to employ my daughter. So that's good. That's all good. Which, you know, I was actually thinking the other day, because I just moved, and a new neighbor told me about a podcast that is the Woman's Local. And I just came up with this idea. I was like, and maybe this exists and maybe you know about it, but like, I would like an app that says, lists all the podcasts that are generated out of a certain city.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, because I want to know what other podcasts are being produced in my city.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that a thing that exists? I don't know.
We should look.
I think it could be genius. I want to know, because I want to reach out to other podcasters in my hood.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I don't know. That's
anyone in the audience, if you know that or you want to build it, let me know, please. Because I would have never found out about this person, and I really like the podcast.
Oh, that's great.
And I'd like to sit and go, so how are you doing? Because she's much newer in her journey. Like, she's not at podcast phase. She's like maybe at 11, but I would like to, you know, kind of have like a podcast meetup group. Maybe that's it. A podcast
meetup. There you go. That is a great idea to talk about things. And because what you think you're projecting may be different than what people are actually intaking. So that would be helpful.
Okay. I'm in. For the audience.
Yeah. I'm in. You get that started. I'll go for it. I don't have to be local. I'm not that far from you.
No, you're not. You're not. Do you have a favorite case ever? I know it's like asking a favorite horse or a favorite child, but do you have a favorite case ever that you could actually talk about?
Ooh, talking about it. not
besides the murder, suicide, divorce case.
Oh, yeah, that one. That's enough right there. Just to talk about. Most of mine are really pretty quiet for the work that I do. And most of mine are referrals in work. So I would say that I could talk about, I would just kind of leave it right there that mine's okay. All referral work. And I don't like, I mean, I'll talk about different little things, but not about the case as a whole. There's, great ones. I'm trying to think as I'm talking to you and keep talking to think what I would want to talk about. they are fun. I had one. You're in Bend, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's oh my gosh, it's one. In Bend?
It was there. And it was years ago, so it was much smaller. And the person I was watching was on the outskirts, and it was difficult. So I was supposed to go and do a surveillance. There's no way to do surveillance there on those houses. And so I was trying to figure out where the person was going. Maybe I could follow him to a coffee shop. And I went to a coffee shop. Well, lo and behold, as I'm going and doing all this work and trying to pay attention, somehow I attracted these high school boys. And they started flirting with me and following me to see who I was. And I never laughed so hard because these kids had no idea what I was trying to do. They're just trying to flirt with this lady in town. Well, I was young at that time in town to what is she doing here? Why is she here? And trying to get me to go out with them. It was hysterical. I could not follow the person I was trying to follow because I had these damn kids.
Oh my God. That is so funny because I was on a plane recently and there was a woman next to me who had a little dog, and I'll admit I was up in first class. I upgraded and, we started talking and she said she was in, I'm not going to name the town, but it's a little south of Bend. And I was like, so what were you doing there? Like, she was from Florida, and she goes, well, I'm never going back. And she said she worked for very wealthy people.
Okay.
And she would manage estates. And I was like, wait, where were you? And I call it La Tweak. But she goes, no, it's an 800,000 acre property. And I don't know what she actually did, but she goes, I'll never go back. She goes, Bend is beautiful, but La Tweak, not so much. So then I told my brother, who's been a longtime Bend person, I told him about the story and he told me a really funny story. Now, I know we're going way off tangent, but there's a resort south of Bend and there were three guys apparently at an ATM machine. And they were like taking a really, really long time. Now this might be urban legend. And they're just like, so the person behind them only sees the back of their head.
Sure.
And they're taking a long time. And finally the person is like, could you hurry up? Like, and now it was, I believe it was Sam Elliott, Tom Cruise, and one other person.
Oh my gosh.
And so I don't know if it's urban legend or not, but the point being that, like, you never know who you're going to run into. And like, could you have done surveillance on an 800,000 acre property? No, There is just no way.
No.
So what do you do? Hang out at the ATM machine and see if they go and get cash? I don't know.
I went to a coffee place that I know that person had gone to and they didn't go back anymore. At least the times that I was there, it's like, I did everything. And it's hard in a small town to blend in. And the kids, if I didn't have those kids, I probably would have been okay. But those boys were something else. I do have one I will talk about briefly. I would do trash runs. And it's funny because I won't go into specifics, but some of them I would bring my kids or my grandkids and I'd say, you need to watch out for me. Let me know if someone's coming. I brought my son, who is probably the one I will never take again. But he was older. And I said, okay, I'm going to go right over there. I have never been here before. I'm not sure what the activity is. Please watch. So I go into this trash can and I'm leaning over and all of a sudden I feel this movement and I'm thinking, what the heck is that? And then the trash can rolls out into the middle of the alleyway that we were in and I can't get out. I'm like bending in. And finally I get myself back out and come out, and I turn around and I'm looking for my son. He's sitting there listening on his phone, listening with his headphones, no idea what happened. But trash, let me tell you, going and doing, as long as they don't have anything posted that you're trespassing, you look at the ordinances within the cities that you're in. But I did that for 5 years for a client. And so much information. It was amazing. I've gone side to side with the folks that go in and are collecting boxes. I've gone in and said, hey, I have a daughter that is making collages out of this product that they, particular product they have that could break up and I could use for collages. I said, can I come in? I was able to go inside and get a tour because I wanted to know what they did. And that was something I needed to do, is go in and get a tour. But I've used my kids so much in so many cases. They love it. I don't do those type of cases anymore, but they loved it and always talk about it. I have probably about four of the grandkids that liked it.
Oh my God, that's so funny. The minute you said trash runs, I had a flashback to the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, FLETC, for those in the know.
Yeah.
Cartilage. All I could think of is curtilage. The word is curtilage. We've been pounded into us so many times. It's like, it's got to be off the curtilage. And so that was like a total flashback. But yeah, trash runs. And I'm crazy about my trash. Like, I burn it or I shred it. Like, yeah. I just, for not for reasons that I don't think anyone's interested in my stuff, except for like, you know, personal identifying information. But what people throw out in their trash, you'd be surprised.
Oh, and employers. I mean, I was getting stuff about other employees, and I got more than I really wanted to know. But it was amazing because they threw so much stuff out. And before you say that, you know, you shred it, before the shredders had the cross shredders, you would see me putting stuff together. And it's like, look at that. And that, again, that's what your kids are good for. Put them into labor, you know, just put these pieces together for me, tape them, and let's see what it says.
Okay. Now this is just a natural transition to, I'm thinking, fraud and pop culture, The Wire. Did you watch The Wire? Based in Baltimore.
Okay.
Oh my God. So good. One of the detectives, and I want to say Jimmy, but he uses his kids on surveillance, and his ex-wife is not happy. But yeah, like, yeah, oh no, my gosh.
And sometimes it's being out there where I'm saying I'd like to be a wallflower in the background if you're right in there, because I use pictures of my kids saying, I have a runaway. Can you help me? I've been let into warehouses that I needed to get into. And of course, it takes the personality to say, oh, what do you do here? When I was pregnant, I'd be out in the front waiting for someone to pick me up. And then as you can see, I need to use a bathroom. And I get in to what I needed to get into and use the bathroom. I've had to look for stuff within certain people's houses that they may have taken stuff home they shouldn't have. And I've gotten into homes, again, either pregnant or using my kids.
Hashtag never underestimate Cynthia. So yeah, which goes to, you know, sometimes women have it certain easier ways, because, you know, basically if a dude goes in and says, I need to use your bathroom, I'm going to tell him there's a tree.
Yeah.
You're not going to say that to a woman.
No, no.
But to a guy, I'm going to say there's a tree. Go at it. Have at it.
You want to help women. Women are good at doing that. You want to help. That's why when in your fraud cases, when you have them stealing from their employers, they're not looking at those women as much. Women are prolific out there at stealing and doing a grand job about it. Men tend to, depending on the positions, you know, go higher, but you have these little women in there working and nobody's paying any attention to what they're doing.
Until they show up in, you know, Jimmy Choo's and they're making $30,000 a year. Or I just commented on a story. One woman just spent $300,000 at Disney. That's one of my pink flags, is Disney.
Oh my God.
All fraudsters take their families to Disney.
Oh,
like, Disney's not cheap.
No, it is not. No.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So closing out, and I don't know if you have time for TV these days or like movies, anything like you watching that's good crime wise?
I like the true crime ones to see what's going on. Actually, there was a woman that worked for a city, and it was a small city. I'm trying to think of where it was in, maybe Illinois, Missouri, something. And she stole hundreds of millions of dollars from the city. And it was like, oh my God. And she just, nobody really paid any attention to her. And she spent it on horses.
Oh, so that's Rita Crunwell. She stole 53.7 and she is out. She's out.
Well, she didn't even
do half of her sentence.
Oh my gosh. No, I was watching that and I'm like, oh my God. But I do like the true crimes because I like to see it, whether it's murder or fraud, that I do enjoy. But then Yellowstone's coming up. It's going to take my time up.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I got a little caught up on a work trip recently because it was on the TV there. So I did get a little caught up on that. So that's awesome. Yeah. Cynthia, what haven't I asked you that you want to get out to the audience?
I think it's definitely go over to Osmosis, go Osmosis Con, and that's osmosiscon.com/association. We just have a landing page up there, but you can go in and join. Anyone that's attended any of the Osmosis conferences will have their first year free because we're in that beta mode right now. So we're going to give the first year free to all of our previous attendees and the current ones from our last one. So go there, check it out. If you have something, we want everybody to get involved in their thoughts and read as much as we can and come as close to what folks want from an association like this. So go in there, add something, email me, get a hold of me direct.
And I will tell you, she's going to answer you. So I am part of that. And I will be joining because I've done numerous Osmosis. And then finally, the last question is, what is the last thing you Googled?
The last thing that I Googled was open text.
Open text?
Open text. I was looking at Open Text, which is a business that is purchased for on the forensic side of stuff. And they had purchased 7 companies in the last year. And we were all talking about, there was 3 of us talking about it. So we started Googling it as we were talking to say, well, what is this? Because I got some forensic information from them that they got guidance. They bought some other places, but I'm talking huge amounts of money going out for companies. I'm like, first thing we say is, where'd that money come from? So that was the last thing that I was Googling about. Was
okay. So how do you spell that?
OpenText.
Okay. Okay. Ooh, interesting. I'll put it in the show notes. Interesting.
Yeah, it just, it's like, wow, they're out there, they're huge, they're growing. But of course, you know, the way our minds of the people I was talking with, where are they getting this money to do that?
Yeah. Oh, it says, welcome to Open Text. I'm Pilot. How can I direct you? Interesting. Pilot. I'll put that in the show note too.
But they are associated with In Case and guidance. So it's definitely within the forensic field or that portion of it. But I don't think they're all connected yet because it was other ways we were then led us to go and find more information.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, West Coast Cynthia. I'm glad that you got to come up to Bend a long time ago. Sorry, the little boys tortured you. I look forward to having you back and hearing more about the association because it's really important to have guardrails, resources, and most importantly, the community that you have been a huge part of.
Yes. Thank you, Kelly. And you definitely are a member, whether you know it or not. Your name is in there. So
awesome. Oh, yeah. I'll see you there.